Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Almost gave the fax number
out. Please. Please.
Still, if anyone wants to know why we cannot receive faxes, it's because the company that manufactures the paper that Westwood One bought for their aging fax machine does not exist anymore. They do not make that tractor feed type paper anymore, apparently. And Westwood One, because it's a dump, a pit and a hellhole, will not buy themselves a new fax machine. Is that right, Engineer Anderson? That is right. Thank you very much. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, back from New York and is a triumphant appearance on 48 Hours, which will air, who cares?
July 5th.
Okay. We have two guests tonight, both comedians, both going to be at the Irvine, right? Improv?
Irvine Improv.
We'll give all the dates. Patton Oswalt is here. You know him from King of Queens, Monday night, CBS, 8 o'clock, and Brian Posehn. Now, wait a minute. I screwed that up. Posehn. Yeah, I shouldn't have read the phonetic spelling there. Just Shoot Me, NBC, 9:30, and on Thursdays, I should say. And these guys are funny. They actually have talent, which is so refreshing here on Loveline, because we usually do not have guests that possess talent unless it's some form of musical talent. So glad to see you guys here. And are you guys co-headlining? How does that work?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Except that I'm closing every night.
Yeah.
So it's
and
like
he's getting more money. So, but right. We're co-headlining.
Yeah. And is do you like doing stand-up?
Yeah, we've both done it for a long time, and I kind of dropped out for a little while. And
it got really fun again because it kind of died, which is I'm sorry. God, all, right. Such, all this new technology.
Radio.
I have no mic technique as a comedian, which is sad. That doesn't bode well for next week. Comedy kind of died, so now the audiences that come out are really cool. Like, they're just into it rather than just...
It's not like it used to be in the 80s.
Right.
People that just didn't know what to do, and they'd... You know, there was a club on every corner, so they just roll in. And now it's people that actually like comedy and are familiar with the people that they're going to see. Usually.
Right.
Right. It got a little out of control for a while. They were doing it like open mic at Bail Bonds places on Thursday nights and stuff.
Pretty grim.
Every place that had chairs in it basically just threw an open mic night together.
Buses.
And they had a mobile comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the height of it like 88, 89 or something? It was like the late 80s?
That's when it got the worst.
It was totally dead by like 92, 93.
Right.
Like every club closed. I left San Francisco and like half the clubs closed in that, you know, like in a 2-month period.
And, mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's an art form that I'm sure will never go away, but it'll have its peaks and its valleys, its ebb and its flow.
Yeah.
And now it's on the way back.
It seems like it, and a lot of the bad ones had to quit, which is great.
Right.
A lot of the really unfunny guys had to
take radio
give
gigs.
Up the dream and
pack it in, late night radio.
Wow, we're getting confessional early. Nice.
No, but it does kind of screw everybody when everybody thinks they have a good sense of humor. They all work with a bunch of jackholes who think they're the funniest guy on the construction site. So open mic rolls around and there's 40 guys waiting in line and the guy who's pulling the names out of the hat doesn't know who's funny and who's not. And consequently, four of them should really be there, but there's another 36 guys you got to wade through to get up on stage.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I've memorized a bunch of stuff, jokes out of Playboy. I'm going to have a career now. I cracked up my supervisor.
I'm the funniest lawyer. I'm going to take that to the stage.
I always love it when the guys who were lawyers or were doctors, or I should say are lawyers, are doctors, are butchers, are very specific in terms of their daytime job. They get up there and they'll do 45 minutes on what it's like being an Albertsons butcher.
Right.
Or an attorney. And it's just, 2.5 minutes of the act would be good on the attorney thing.
Your opener, not the 45. And then move on,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm the comedic honey dipper. No, I don't want to hear. Dude, come on. Not 40 minutes.
You should see what we sucked out of a port of sand last week. Got stuck in the main sieve. Tell you, it's a gold mine if you're willing to go in.
We got the Marriott Commission, and folks, you better sit back. Order some extra buffalo wings. This is going to be long.
I did stand up for about 10 minutes, but I never made it past the open mic part of it.
And almost killed yourself because of it, I'd say.
I almost drove off a bridge. Yeah. Where was that?
San Francisco.
Rooster Tea Feathers?
Oh, my God.
You guys
man.
Know that place?
Yeah. I got fired. I got fired from Rooster Tea Feathers because the owner's mom didn't like me.
She would come and make sure the comics weren't cussing.
The owner's mother.
Yeah.
Mom.
Right. Some old bag.
Yeah.
And I think she's a friend of my grandmother's.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
She'd show up in her slippers and then watch us.
Right.
And then if you cuss, she'd report back that you were dirty and not funny.
Right.
And if you were killing,
so it'd be like,
and you said one potty word.
It'd be Marge Schott running a comedy club.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was the lowest point of my professional life. Or forget about professional
life. Period.
Just life. I was like 27. Everything was going wrong. I was working construction since high school. I couldn't get anything right. I had no insurance. I had no money. And one day I just thought, I need a change of venue. I need to get out of this stale town, and I'll go up to San Francisco, and I'll crash with my buddy Zeb, who's in his ninth year over there at Berkeley, and I'll scrape together a few $100, and my grandmother knows the old bag who owns Rooster Teeth Feathers, and she'll get me an audition, and I'll become a regular there. I just need a place to work out. I'll work out a bunch of material. I'll stay up there for a good 6 months, and I'll come back and take L.A. by storm. I drove out there in my Nissan mini truck with a sleeping bag in the back, crashed out at Zeb's, got my crap together for about 3 days trying to get my material together, drove out to Rooster Tea Feathers, which is not really that close to San Francisco, is it?
No, it is not.
It's a trek.
Big, long bridge.
It's like Orange County in L.A.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
That far away from
Drove out there. She was, my grandmother called her up. I don't know how the hell my grandmother knew her, but called her and she said, yeah, we'll put him up, you know, Tuesday at 8 o'clock, give him 10 minutes, you know. I went up there, did my set, bombed. And was driving home over a huge bridge. I don't know what bridge it was that goes out there, but many a comic is probably driven to his death off of that bridge. Because I was just driving back, and it was raining. It was like 10:30 at night, and I just got done bombing. And it was basically time to go back to my buddy Zeb's, pack up, and drive back to L.A.
Out into the to hit the windshield wiper to snap them back across the bridge.
And I was thinking, you know, I should just drive off the bridge now.
You know what? I had to follow you, and I did drove off that bridge.
You did drive off?
It was just... I survived.
Is that the one where there was a tape recording on your tape machine that... Or no, like a friend's tape machine about how much you sucked?
No. But thanks for bringing that up.
So there's evidence. There's hard evidence out there?
That was the first time I ever did stand-up. When I was done doing the open mic, this was a couple of years earlier, I went back with this girlfriend of mine. I went back to her house, and she was checking her messages, and she lived with her sister. And the phone machine had recorded the whole conversation that her sister had when she picked up an hour earlier. So it's like the phone rang and you hear... Remember those old answering machines? Someone would pick up the phone and go, no, I'm here. And then the whole conversation would be recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the conversation went something like this. What'd you do tonight? I went to see Adam do stand-up. Oh, yeah, I was going to go. I couldn't make it. How was he? Don't ask. He was horrible. And I just stood there over the phone machine listening to this brutally honest. Yet I couldn't even, you know, sometimes when people...
Can't fault them.
Yeah, you know when people attack you? Oh, it's just sour grapes. You wish you had the guts or, you know.
Now, they were right.
She didn't know me. We had no history. She liked me. She was like, don't tell Adam I said this, but boy, did he suck.
You know? I just picture you turning away from the machine like Ironized Cody with a little tear just kind of going down your eye.
It was running down my leg, but it was the same effect.
I was watching a friend eat it one time. He was on stage just chewing it, and so I called his answering machine and then held the phone up. So when he got home, there was 10 minutes of him just having a miserable time.
That's great.
To relive it.
Yeah. No escape.
Joe?
Yes.
You're 23. What's up?
Yeah, man, I was just wondering. I'm you know, I'm 23 years old and I already went through puberty and all that stuff, but I still have wet dreams. Like, I mean, two this week already. Sexually active, release once a week. So I know it's not like from buildup or anything like that.
Release.
You know, I'm just wondering. Yeah, I'm in college. I got a roommate that's in my room. I just know one day he's going to wake up and I'm going to be humping the bed or something. I mean, I don't get it.
Maybe you need to release more than once a week.
Hold on. What kind of college? Like a Basin college or not a regular college?
It's a regular college. I mean,
UT?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess you could, if you're from Texas, sound that way and go to college.
You saying I have an accent?
Yeah. But it's more of just sort of a dumb country, not really another country.
What kind of wet dreams are you having while you're humping the bed? Are you, like, sleepwalking?
I don't know what I do. I mean, I just, you know, I just wake up, and, I mean, I got wet pants, and, you know, I got to go change my, you know, my boxers out or whatever. And
so do,
I mean,
do you
it,
say...
It doesn't matter how many times I have sex a week, it seems like, you know, if I wait a few days, there it is again.
Right, so maybe that's your body saying that more frequent is necessary.
Yeah.
More than a very few
Why
days.
Don't you just, you know, take some of the pressure off yourself before you go to bed by beating one out?
Right. He's got a guy
and
in
even,
bed next to him.
Even
right.
Masturbate when you're having sex.
That's what I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Rub my own nipples.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hold still and you're confusing me.
Amount, treat it like a DVD with bonus material, man. You know, just add little stuff.
So, Joe, you're saying you can't beat off because you got a guy in your room with you?
Well, I mean, we share a room, but it's not like we're there all the time.
Right.
It's one of those things. Like, I mean, like I said, it doesn't matter how many times, you know, a week, it seems like if I wait a couple days, you know, there it is, just, you know.
Right. Oh, listen, hey, listen, that is a bonus, by the way. And as bonus. You know, I've often described wet dream as God giving you a hand job. But that is a pleasurable experience that us as adult males have mm-hmm. not experienced in some
it's
years.
Been a while. Yeah.
I'd now in the position I'm in, I'd pay like $350 for a good wet dream.
Starts the day off so well. Yeah, you feel like you woke up already winning.
Right.
You're
on top of the world.
Well, I'm not saying it feels bad. I'm just saying, you know, does it eventually taper off? I mean,
yes.
As you get older?
Yes.
Yeah, it does. Your biology settles down, and you start... You start making less amounts, but more you start engaging in sex more for what your body's asking you to do. You know what I'm saying?
Meaning...
More frequently.
He has a six-day-a-week sack
right
now,
yeah.
And he only
has a
two-day-a-week girlfriend.
Right.
So eventually his sack will match his lady.
Right.
That's what we should all hope for. God willing.
Your sack match your lady. Isn't that like a Lynyrd Skynyrd song?
Yeah. Catherine. Catherine. Genius. Turn that radio down.
Here she comes.
Oh, smarty. Oh, boy.
Three, two.
Here comes the brain trust.
One.
Really? How long's our delay?
6 seconds.
No, I think it's like 10 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, really? 10 seconds? Oh,
yeah.
A few seconds.
Oh, this is going to be glorious.
Didn't I yell her name and tell her to turn her radio down about 30 seconds ago?
Yeah. Though?
All right. Should we put her back on hold? What's her problem, Drew?
There she comes.
Oh.
Catherine? No.
All right. Listen, yeah. What was her problem? Was she raped?
No.
Okay. Well, then good. I sleep like a baby tonight.
Whoa.
I shouldn't laugh at the word rape, but for some reason.
In the right context.
Coming out of your mouth, yeah.
Laughing at the word rape. All next week, folks, Irvine Improv.
Aaron.
What's up?
You're 15. What's up?
Adam, want to give props to the show, man. It's a great show.
Oh, thanks.
And I caught the Dr. Drew's episode of Oprah.
Mm.
And the author of the Quarter Life Crisis book.
Yeah.
I don't know if you recall it, but she referred to the world as one's oyster.
Oh, did she really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's my line.
I think she meant to attribute that to Adam, but forgot.
The world is your oyster. I mean, because that's all the world is.
I know I said that in jest. I know I did.
But now it's being quoted on Oprah now, you see?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're an angel. It. That's why.
Aaron?
Yeah, I wanted to know what Adam's opinion on, like, those Christian Children's Fund commercials and stuff was. Like, how he felt about it.
What are they?
The commercials you see from time to time, and you see like some kid from Paraguay walking down some train tracks. He's deprived and hadn't been fed in a couple of days and stuff, and they're asking you to send 75 cents.
Yeah,
save a child's life, sort of like adopt a kid overseas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I never send any money, but it always makes me hungry, so I always head into the kitchen.
I think they're hilarious.
That reminds
Those
me.
Are
I gotta
funny.
Eat. Yeah, it's good.
Reminds me, I got to work
it's
on my abs.
It's a funny campaign. Yeah.
why do you ask?
Really,
Aaron?
I mean,
what are you getting at?
I just felt a rant coming on. I don't know.
Well, listen, I'm all for helping people in need. I mean, not me personally, but those who do. My hat's off to them. You talking about the guy with the beard who
Sally Struthers?
Oh, is that a woman? That was a guy. Are you talking about the guy with the beard who's bald who walks around and talks about what these kids need?
It's always a different guy, but it's
Jesus?
The same organization.
Right. He's got the sandals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always feel uncomfortable and feel I have to change the channel, though.
Well, what would your rant be if you were me, Aaron?
I really don't know.
Okay.
I was hoping to get some humor out of it.
All right. Yeah.
Well,
humor at us.
You usually have to stop masturbating and then...
Yeah, but it just speaking of
or start.
You guys opened this discussion talking about how everybody thought they're funny. Here's an Aaron who thinks that the starving children is a great source for a rant and funny humor.
Why, well,
I just want to talk to Adam. Cancer, go.
Good
run with it.
Good instinct.
Oh, what do you think, man?
Let me tell you, I've had an ass full of these cancer patients.
hey, guys, you're going off about cancer. Come here, man.
Yeah, I got
your radio down.
I got your chemo right here. Right here, brother.
Oh, he's bald, man.
Yeah. Yeah, hair falling out. Good, you're all Sinead O'Connor. She's a hot piece of ass.
Thanks, Adam. White snake rules.
Wait, what happens when Sinead gets cancer? She grow hair or what?
Brilliant.
Yeah, I'm gonna be doing a rant on the Holocaust at 11 if you guys wanna tune in. Hey, Catherine.
Yes.
Are you back at the phone now?
Yes.
All right. What's up?
All my friends have been saying that they've been having orgasms, and I try, and I cannot have one.
Oh, let me handle this. All right, Catherine, mm-hmm. I know exactly how you feel. I don't know what is going on with me. You just have to trust yourself, I think. And you ever listen to Gordon Lightfoot albums?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to fall asleep now.
You know the wreck of Edmund Fitzgerald, Catherine?
I think so.
Yeah, a lot of good men went down on that Edmund Fitzgerald.
It's good that you're trying, Catherine, but I bet not all of your friends are saying this, because it's actually unusual, not unusual, but not everyone is able to do that at 16.
Are you saying you can't achieve one through masturbation or through sex?
I can't.
Either way.
No matter what. Not either way. Well, like, because my mom told me that girls can start having orgasms when they start their periods. And we all started our periods, like, back when we were in elementary school, because, like, all the women in my family did.
Yeah, but Catherine, the deal is that most women don't really have an orgasm in their teens. And somewhere in the 20s,
if you give them a pony, I think they do.
No, they don't. And most will have it with oral sex after that, and then only a very small percentage actually have it with intercourse.
Really?
Yeah, and so it's something that... It's a biology that develops differently than the male. It's something that actually needs, believe it or not, your brain function in order for it to occur. It's not just a spinal reflex. And it tends to, for some women, occur more readily when you are sort of able to achieve a sense of intimacy, a sense of closeness.
You have a boyfriend?
Yes, I do. We've been going out for a year.
So are you having sex?
Oh, yeah.
Sweet.
Are you
That's
fake?
Awesome.
How old is he?
He's 16.
Are you faking it?
No, he knows that I've never had one.
All right.
Using condoms?
Sometimes.
Oh, okay.
What do you do the rest of the time?
I'm sorry?
What are you doing for birth control otherwise?
Make a wish.
I'm on the Depo shot. I've been on it for about 2 years now.
You know, the Depo may be helping prevent you, too. Depo can make it more difficult and can decrease your libido and things.
Does he do the oral sex thing?
Oh, yeah.
And nothing there, huh?
No.
I think,
It doesn't feel as good as when we have sex, though.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a keeper there.
God, where were you when I was...
and what about...
Where were you when I was 21?
He's on the road last week. That's when you needed her. Hey, Catherine?
Mm-hmm?
What if you work things out for yourself? You ever try that?
Yeah, I try, but I do it for about 15, 20 minutes, and then I get tired.
It gets boring, right?
Me too. I go 15, 20 minutes, come 9 times, and then I get bored. That's my technique right
and
there.
And then you get off the bus.
I pull a calf muscle, and it's time to hang it up.
Get off the chin-up bar.
All right. Hey, listen, you're not ready.
You're going to figure it out. Relax.
All right.
Are you in love with your boyfriend?
Yes, I am, very much.
All right. You'll figure it out.
All right, she'll be fine. Jeez, what a gig we have. Talking to 16-year-old girls. Honey, do you diddle yourself? I see. Vibrator? No. Dildo's not a vibrator. No, I beg to differ.
Is your 14-and-a-half-year-old boyfriend performing oral sex on you?
I see. His technique, would that be around the world or the carpet bombing? Which one is that? I see.
You'll find the key, princess. Happy Flag Day.
Tara?
Yes?
You're 18. What's up?
Well, a couple months ago, this guy was finger banging me, he hit this spot.
Been there.
Huh?
Yeah, he hit some.
Go on, you were finger banging. Go.
And I assumed that it was my G-spot, because it was just like, whoa, my gosh. And I want to find it on my own endeavors, and I can't find it, so I was wondering if you could tell me, like, some instructions, like, what it feels like.
It's in your vagina.
Yeah.
We don't know what it feels like, but it's, I mean, what it feels like to the touch?
Yeah.
It's,
awesome.
It's between the F and H spot.
It's about knuckle depth and push forward just above and behind the pubic bone.
Because I don't know if I'm, like, not at the right angle, if I'm not pushing hard enough or what. But
you need to be hanging upside down. Are you doing that?
Are you inverted, honey?
Yeah. Chin-up bar?
No.
Gravity boots.
Did you say this was you? Oh, this was your boyfriend looking for it.
No, it wasn't my boyfriend. It was actually my friend's boyfriend.
Oh.
Why didn't you?
How tawdry.
I see. And were his keys up there? Were you guys having a sexual endeavor? I mean, you guys screwing around on your best friend?
Clearly,
yes.
Yeah, Adam,
it would help the relationship. Have your friend, your boyfriend's friend, show him where he hit it, and that will bring you all closer together.
Adam, are you screwing up? He tripped and fell into her vagina.
It was rhetorical. That happens.
Happens a lot. You should know as a doctor.
You never run with your fingers extended. I was told that. Always point the fingers down when you run.
It was a planned thing, kind of.
It was a planned thing.
Yeah.
Hey, let's finger bang on Thursday.
Yeah. Get your handspring out.
Hold on, let me check my book. I got cornholing with Stu on Thursday. Well, pencil in for Friday, finger bang?
I'm teabagging on Friday.
Teabagging. Well, that puts me into the middle of the next week, because Monday, Tuesday, I got a 69 and then a standing wheelbarrow on Tuesday. I'm getting into the rattan spinning sex chair on Thursday. At least Wednesday next week for finger banging. Is that good?
Yeah. After 9, I got to watch Christopher Lowell, and then I'm free from 10 on.
Okay. Hey, Tara?
Yeah?
Did we nail it? Is that exactly what happened?
Is that your life?
Tara, did we just strum your fate with our fingers?
But Tara, maybe you can't be reached with your hand. Maybe you need something else to help you. You know what I'm saying?
Pogo stick.
Do you like this guy?
Actually, he's a jerk. I'm not seeing him anymore.
Okay.
Why did you break up with your
boyfriend?
But
he's awesome at finger banging.
Yeah, he's a good...
actually, he sucked at it.
He sucked at it, but
he found your G-spot. That's awesome, right?
No.
Idiot. It was by accident, because he didn't hit it again.
What's this?
So he's like the Forrest Gump of finger bangers, then.
Right. Well, he's like Christopher Columbus.
Yeah.
He thought he was looking for India. What the hell was he looking for?
He was just trying to finger bang somebody.
All right, Tara. Yeah. No, one thing I'm confused about. Do you have a boyfriend?
No. See, that's the thing. Good. I've never had a boyfriend, and guys usually don't pay attention to me. I don't know why.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, this one guy obviously did.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm ugly or anything. They just like ignore me, and he started flirting with me. And
you're fat,
Drew. Please,
no, I'm not.
You, Tara, listen. You're beautiful. All right, I don't care what Drew. No, I don't care what Drew says. You are beautiful. We're all God's creatures, and I want you to
see his mouth move.
I'm gonna say, play that again, so you can prove to these guys that wasn't me. Anderson, come on.
Have some respect for yourself, Tara.
You're fat.
No, I'm not.
No, that was tape of Drew.
Listen.
I'm 5'5", and I weigh 120, I swear.
You're very beautiful. And you don't need this. Drew, please, find yourself a guy, okay, who doesn't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, I should say.
And who has fingers.
Settle down. Relax.
All right.
If I can do it, they can do it, you can do
Christopher
it.
Christopher
Lowell.
Drew, do you remember the first time I spotted Christopher Lowell?
He ran out of...
And by the way, there's a lot of people jumping on the Christopher Lowell.
Now,
I was going to say bandwagon. It's more of a calliope.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
Carousel.
That thing.
It's carousel.
Carousel. But how long ago did I spot him?
2 years ago, we were in Iowa.
Yeah.
Drake University.
Right.
And he ran out of his hotel room in a towel.
In a towel.
And he started banging on the door. You've got to see this guy. The gayest man in America is on TV.
I don't even
got
know.
To see him.
I don't know.
Oh, you got to see
him. He's
on
the Discovery Channel
you
or something. And he does like
guy.
Owl stuff. He is
look
the,
for the
gayest
fill
man.
That space, all right?
On, he's a gay singularity. He has the power of 10 gay men. That is
right.
How gay he is.
That's right.
Yeah.
He could pull his own gay train.
Yeah, even the people from, you know, like the Pink Triangle are like, dude, butch it up a little. I mean, seriously.
Right.
Wow.
Folks from ACT UP are like,
yeah,
please.
You're going to mint yourself off the planet.
Gay it down a little.
One more time, Anderson. Play that, please. So listen to this.
Look for the areas. Fill that space, all right? The whole idea about creating focal points in your room is
his
keeping your eye trained for those little details. It's those little details that make the home yours.
All right.
He's a wood nymph. Someone captured a wood nymph in a bottle, and they gave him a show on TV.
We are going to take ourselves a little break, and when we come back, more Us and You.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
1-800-LOVE. Hey, everybody. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. And next week, Dave Navarro will be in here. Pennywise, holy Christ. 311 and Sum 41 are going to be in here.
What the hell's the matter with us?
Hold on. Patton Oswalt and Brian Posehn are both here tonight.
That was Brian.
What's wrong with Pennywise?
Brian from Just Shoot Me. What?
Maybe we had to play on the Pennywise tape with the original Pennywise.
Okay.
Yeah. You got that, Anderson?
Okay, go ahead.
Here it is. Listen.
That's fine. I mean,
that's him vomiting. That's
fine. Like, what's the?
Don't get back in. No, please don't throw up on the
office. Oh my God! Love Line is over. I'm pretty much currently.
Get out of here!
Okay, bye.
Wow.
Yes, Love Line is over. It's not our fault. We have a big, ugly man in our guitar band.
Get out of here.
And,
yes. Keep away from me.
Get the hell out.
Not sure.
Can I come over? Are we on the air?
Yes.
Please. All right, you go. Come here.
That was him leaning over me, vomiting.
I don't even hear you guys.
That's
what I know.
We were running while this 6'8 monster.
I was not even on the show back then, and I'm mortified. That was like a year before I got on this show.
Were they boozed up? Can they not handle their liquor?
Pizzed up and started. He was just sitting there. All of a sudden, he puked across the console, and then he got up and started chasing people around, vomiting on them.
Now, Fletcher goes 6'8". 375.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hand cover Adam's back, would you say?
Yeah.
Palm would cover
him. He could palm you?
Yeah.
He could palm. Yes. He could do a lot of palming.
And he's all hair. He looks really like some sort of abominable snowman.
He's not the guy you want to have finger bang you.
No.
What?
Well, no. I'm trying to link to the first.
Oh, no. You're good at
So he came back.
Calling back.
He came back making amends last time and said this will never happen again. And then he proceeded to get loaded again. And do we have any tape of that? No.
No. And that one, I mean, I don't know why we don't have... You know why we don't have tape of that? Because we just shut down the microphones and called the cops, I think.
Yeah. They started discussing going to Poo Poo City.
Yeah. Mm.
And then he barricaded at the door, beat the crap out of his own security.
Right.
And we had to call the SWAT team in.
Right.
I think that is where you take it next after you vomit. Then it's got to go to number two land.
Yeah.
Right. You got to bring out the fecal.
Well, as performers, you guys know.
Well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's. You got to go somewhere.
That's my go-to. Yeah, after I vomited on the crowd.
Yeah.
Right, so now.
When I vomit, I've got five.
Now
you don't need to give me the light after I've thrown up.
They'll be back on Monday. I don't know why we're having them back, but we love.
Because he has a new colostomy bag.
We love the listeners, that's why. All right, Brian and Patton are both going to be at the Irvine Improv, which is at the Irvine Spectrum, and that's coming up this weekend, the 20th. Oh, wait a minute. Next week.
Wednesday.
20th through the 24th.
Right.
Two shows Friday night, three shows Saturday night. Holy Christ. Three shows.
I know.
Saturday night. So it's going to be awesome. Yeah. It's that third show. Not fun.
Angel?
Hey.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
I've got these weird bumps, like, on the inside of my vaginal lips.
I see.
I just noticed them tonight while I was listening to your show.
Are they symmetrical?
I mean, they're on both sides.
And is it sort of little tiny bumps?
Yeah, I can't see them.
Are they in the sign of a pentagram?
That can be normal. That can be normal, Angel.
Okay, they get, like, super thick, like, right above my clitoris.
Thick?
Like, I mean, more of them, and they're, like, bigger.
Yeah, well, I think it's fine.
Why? What do you think that is?
How is that fine?
To the follicle.
Like, I used to have, like, warts on my fingers, so...
Nah.
I don't know.
Were you finger?
How did you find that on yourself there, Angel?
I was masturbating earlier.
Sweet.
I was listening, because you guys are on tape delay.
Right. All right.
I guess you're a big King of Queens fan?
What?
I'm just, you know.
How's everything going there, Angel?
I'm fine. I'm kind of excited to be talking to you guys.
Oh, good.
I love your show.
You have a boyfriend?
No.
No.
Not okay. Right now.
All right. So you're just masturbating.
Yeah.
All right. Be careful. Is your name really Angel?
No.
Okay, good. Because, you know, I have a theory about the girl's name Angel.
Yeah, they're teenage prostitutes,
right? Exactly.
Right?
Prostitute by night and honor student by day.
Honor student by
day. That's right. Come on.
Yeah. They're from a bad 80s movie.
That's right.
Every girl named Angel. Right. Is a whore
or they're a gang leader on Hill Street Blues.
Yes.
You know what you don't hear so much about anymore on TV or movies is by day, by night.
Yeah, exactly. No.
People seem to do the same thing throughout the course of the day now and into the night.
If you're a whore by day, you're usually a whore by night.
Yeah, that's
the way it works nowadays.
You go to bed a whore, you wake up a whore. You don't wake up an honor roll student.
You don't go, I'm off shift right now. I'm an honor student. I can't.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'll take some SATs. What is it, 5 o'clock? Got to blow this John.
Yeah, exactly. Once I finish this Flaubert, then I'm going to be goblin. What? I'm just, you know.
Suzanne?
Oh, hello?
You're 16. What's up?
Yeah, hi. First, I just want to say that the phone screen is really, really cool. Mm. I really like them.
16.
And I don't know if you guys remember, but I called, like, a couple months ago when that motocross guy was on. And, like, I said your name was on my shoes.
Oh, right.
I was the original person, and then, like, everybody started calling it.
Yeah, a lot of posers putting my name on their shoes, but Suzanne's the original.
Did we gamble on you, Suzanne?
No, you didn't.
Okay.
Yeah, any bumps or anything?
No. Well, like, today is my mom's birthday, and, like, we went out to dinner, and I don't really get along with my parents that well. And, like, I got into, like, a big argument with my dad. And, like, I told them that I, like, needed counseling. Like, I wanted to talk to, like, a psychiatrist or a psychologist or something.
Good.
Because I don't think my parents, like, really understand me, and I just felt like I needed to talk to someone. Like, I don't think I'm crazy or anything.
Right, you just want some help.
Yeah, I just felt I needed somebody to talk to and, like, who would understand me and stuff.
You're insane.
Sounds crazy to me. I'm kidding.
Do you have insurance?
Yeah, and, like, my dad just thinks it's, like, a waste of money.
Well, if you have insurance, then that should cover at least a few visits.
Does it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because, like, I don't know, my parents are, like, kind of, like, my mom is really, really intrusive and, like, overbearing.
Yeah.
Do you have an eating disorder?
No, I don't.
All right.
Could you?
I'm surprised. She's, like, crazy. She, like, reads my diary and, like, searches my room and stuff.
Oh, boy.
And, like she picks out my friends. Like, okay, I have, like, this friend who has, like, lots of acne, and my mom was convinced he did drugs just because, like, he had acne because she read somewhere if you have, like, acne, you do drugs or something like that.
Oh, like, really?
Wow. Well, like, yeah, like, I don't know, something like that. And, like they always lecture me and, like, criticize me and stuff. And then, like, if I say something, like, that they do wrong, they, like, freak out about it.
Well, clearly they're sort of see you as some sort of projection of themselves, extension of themselves. So anything that is wrong with you makes them feel like they're ashamed and there's something wrong with them.
Yeah, they always say I'm making them look bad.
Yes, that's bad. That's not good. That's not your responsibility.
It's like they won't let me put a lock on my door because, like, my mom said we need to know what's going on in there.
Well, that's not such a bad impulse, but...
Why not?
Like, why not buy a camera? That could, you know...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, like, I won, like, this... Like, I get bad grades because I guess I just kind of start, like, trying. Like, I don't really care anymore.
Well, maybe you're dumb. Don't be hard on yourself.
No, you sound depressed and you sound like you've got a situation with your parents which is not healthy.
Okay, like, I want... Like, my dad always told me, like, I never, like, make him happy and stuff because I get bad grades and stuff.
All right,
like that.
Now listen. Hey, Suzanne.
I hate your dad.
Yeah, I don't like him, and I don't like your mom. The good news is they deserve each other. But here's what you got to do. You got to do what I did with my family. I wrote them off on my 11th birthday.
No,
I realized they were just worthless sacks, and I stopped caring. You need to stop caring about them and what they think of you and all
of
that.
Yeah, but she's so trampled by them that she has not enough support to get a clear sense of herself to move away from them.
No,
I don't mean physically move away. I mean emotionally depart.
I don't want you guys to think they're, like, evil. Like, I really respect my dad. Like, he's, like, a really smart guy. And, like, we came from another country, so, like, I think that's part of it. Like,
ooh.
We're from Russia.
Oof.
So they're kind of, like, really old-fashioned, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, Russians are the worst.
Horrible.
Horrible, yeah. Horrible people.
But that's a sort of a
didn't
common...
see red heat?
It's also a common story in this country where people come from old countries and want to sort of maintain the values and the parenting style of that country when the children are living in a different culture.
Yeah, like, I always tell them, I'm like, you know, why'd you come to, like, an... It's just horrible.
All right.
You know, you say USA right or wrong, pinkos.
Hey, Mom and Dad, right? Go back to Russia,
yeah.
If you don't like my bedroom.
Exactly.
If you don't like what I do
these
in my own room.
Don't run. That's what you say to them.
That's right.
Don't tread on me, Mom or Dad.
Remind them about the U.S. hockey team victory in the 1980 Olympics.
My parents know that I listen to you guys, and I told them, like, because we went out to dinner tonight. I'm like, well, if I call Loveline and Dr. Drew says that I, like, you know, I need, like, counseling or something, will you, like, because my dad just thinks it's, like, dumb.
All right, no, tell him Drew said.
Tell him,
I'm,
yeah.
I'm recording it, so there.
All right, tell him
Drew
said
go.
That.
Well, no, and then cut it together.
It certainly seems reasonable for you to have an evaluation, right? Doesn't mean you have to have therapy for a long period of time.
Right.
You need to see if there's something that needs to be done. You sounded happy, and perhaps you tell your dad that maybe the grades dropping out are because you're depressed.
I got words for Dad. Mm-hmm. Hey, Boris.
Yeah.
Listen up. This is a citizen of the United States, the greatest country in the world.
Yeah.
And let me say this. Pinkos are stinkos.
Exactly.
You got that, Momski and Dadski?
Yeah. All right, let's take a break, boys. Let's go out and urinate in the parking lot without fear of persecution.
Hoorah!
let's smoke a cigarette in the halls and breathe that nicotine and free American air. Huh? Let's go to the vending machine where we can get ourselves some world-class snacks for under $1.
And not have to wait for 2 days.
Exactly.
Right. Hey, you guys want to swing by the all-night supermarket and buy some fresh meat on the way home?
Hey, why not? How about some toilet paper, too?
Fantastic.
I can get it right away?
Yep.
Awesome.
Oh, what's this country's name?
America?
Well, I'm staying.
All right, boys. We will be back.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Dave Navarro, Pennywise, 311, Sum 41. Next week, Brian Posehn is here along with Patton Oswalt. They can be found at the Irvine Improv at the Irvine Spectrum. That would be the 20th through the 24th. What's the 20th? That's Friday?
So Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday.
Well, you know, can I mention I'll also be at the Largo on Monday the 18th?
Is that Cafe
LA,
Largo?
In L.A. Fairfax. Cafe Largo on Fairfax.
Right.
And be there Monday
the
night.
Alternative.
The alternative Monday night shoe.
Is that where guys don't tell jokes?
No, that's what guys that tell jokes think that happens there. But no, it's
the Monday night show is really fun and really awesome. It's a great show every Monday night.
Yeah. All right, that's
so good.
Largo,
please come.
All right,
you'll love it.
We will hop back to the phones and speak to Angelo.
Ooh.
Angelo,
hey, what's up?
Hey, you're 19. How's it going?
Hey, Adam, you're a god.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Dr. Drew, you're a genius.
What's up, Angelo? What's going on?
I'm sitting right here.
Yeah, hi to the guests, whoever, I think Brian from the Shoot Me a Man. It's great. It's a great show.
Cool. Thank you.
Great show.
Pan from King of Queens, by the way.
Yeah, again, I'm crying a little bit now.
No, okay, Adam, my sister has your name on her shoe. She's 14. She loves you, man.
Thank her.
Yeah. And, okay, a couple of shows ago, I don't know how long ago, you talk about putting some toothpaste, like that cream that numbs your teeth, your gums, where it really hurt.
Oh, like Orajel?
Yeah, like Orajel, and put it on your penis to kind of last longer.
What?
Yeah, we were talking about that.
Not about Orajel, though.
Well, that was one of my ideas, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I tried it. It really worked.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, for those who want to try it.
Gotta go.
Yeah.
Good news.
It's kind of weird, though, because I bought this called Ambisol. It's kind of a funny name. A-M-B-E-S-O-L. And, it has like Vensocaine, like 20%. So it kind of numbed me for 10 minutes, and it, like, you know, made me last longer. So it was really cool.
Well, what I said was that there is a study that using xylocaine jellies has been shown to extend it for some guys.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, back in the day, we used to rub coke on there. It was the same. It was primitive, but it was the same effect. Sure.
It's kind of expensive.
So you numb your penis, and that delays ejaculation.
Yeah, like for 10 minutes, 10 more minutes. So, you know, I usually last like for 8 minutes.
Also, I found with the Ambisol, the cap is an interesting shape. You can wedge that up your urethra and add another 5 to 10 minutes to orgasm.
That's how I got into my frat.
All right, Angelo, thanks.
Yeah, one more thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're being immortalized by the word, by the quote, the words you always said. I printed out in a computer and a T-shirt, and a white T-shirt, and I've been giving out to my friends. The world's your oyster, because that's all the word is.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You've not seen my likeness in a tortilla, have you?
No.
No, okay. I just want to see what level he'd gotten to with this man.
You know, I've been putting Mr. Pibb up my butt, and it makes you poo longer. Surely, because it's not supposed to be up there, like, directly, and your butt's like, whoa, get it out, and you just don't stop. It's great. I don't really have a job or nothing, and there's no kids around here except me.
Travis?
Yeah.
You're 17.
Yeah.
What's
hey,
up?
Adam. Dude, you're a god, man. I would eat a plate of total worms just to meet you, man.
Right. Travis?
You rule, dude.
Relax. Hey. Brian and I got on the show.
Relax, Travis.
All right, sorry.
All right, what's up?
Yeah, my girlfriend and I, we've been dating for like 4 or 5 years. And
how old? How old?
I'm
17. How old's she?
She's 22.
All right.
Ooh. Ooh.
Oh. Congrats, man.
Wow.
She
nice
was
work.
17 and you were 13.
Yeah.
She getting you beer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Dude.
That's great.
I would eat a plate of total worms to meet you.
Mr.
That is
Mrs.
awesome.
Mrs. Robinson.
Yeah. That's a score. We kind of wonder what's up with her.
Mm-hmm.
Or more specifically, what's wrong with
her. But when she's 60, you'll be 53.
Crazy,
real
retarded,
drag.
Both.
What's up, Travis? What do you want to know from us?
Well, see, recently, we've been dating 5 years before her and I even had sex.
Yeah.
And, she was a virgin and I was, of course, a virgin. And when her and I have sex, it tears up her insides. Like, she says it tears up her insides. She bleeds out from her insides itself.
Well,
like the tissue on the inside.
Wait a minute.
Hey, hold on, Travis. Could you work the word inside in just one more time, please?
Yeah. Listen, her bleeding from sex doesn't mean she's being torn up. Many women bleed at sex. It's just the lining of the uterus is a little unstable, and there can be some bleeding afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So the bleeding has nothing to do with anything.
Okay, because she, like, claims
And when she says I'm being torn up inside, it may be a metaphor for sleeping with a 17-year-old. You know, it may be an emotional thing.
And wait, did you guys just start having sex? Is that? I missed.
Yeah.
I thought you said you started.
You went out for
5 years?
Yeah.
So you were 12?
Yeah.
Now, did she have a history of sexual abuse or something?
No. Well, because, see, it's like, basically, we grew up next to each other. So I've lived next to her since I was like 4 months old. I've known her dad, and I don't ever would pit, I wouldn't even picture her dad ever doing that.
Well, not necessarily her dad. Has anybody ever done anything to her?
No.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, because we live in a small community, so it's like everybody knows everybody. So
right, yeah,
those kinds of things never.
Never
happen.
Any sexual no, abuse. Not in a small town.
No, no. Bakersfield.
Isn't that where it comes from?
Yes,
the small towns.
Oh, yes.
Isn't that where sex?
Yeah, they invented bluegrass, corn whiskey, and sexual abuse.
That's right. And, yeah. And jug playing.
And jug playing.
So, but this business of it being so painful for her is what we're sort of exploring. Is there anything else? Does she lubricate normally?
Oh well, that and her ass is the size of a
baseball. Oh, got us.
Yeah.
Good one. Travis.
Hey, that was great, Travis. We're just talking to the guys about it.
Yeah, exactly. I was just asking if a dildo ever called and prank called.
Right.
And then turns out
we
you
got
did.
A dildo.
You're great.
I was afraid the show would be dildo free, and yet.
No, he was good. You noticed he had the sense of urgency.
The kind of slight stutter.
Seemed a little real.
Yeah.
But then his math, I got thrown off with
oh,
the...
Oh, yeah, I was like 12.
Went out for 5 years before they had sex. And
what 17-year-old girl goes out on the toilet?
Right, right. All right, hey, good work, Travis.
Genius.
We're going to send you out a windbreaker, okay?
Wow. New Albert Brooks.
Hey, can I get it signed by you, though?
No.
Oh, you mean you weren't kidding about the part of him being your idol?
No, dude.
That was the most bogus part of all, I thought.
Yeah,
okay,
please.
That
seemed a little flimsy to me.
Oh, yeah.
No. The bogus part of my statement was sending out the windbreaker. we'll do no such thing.
Wink!
But we will take ourselves a little break, and when we come back, we'll speak to Justin, who's 13, has a lump on his left nipple. What could it be?
Fake.
We'll tell him after this.
Oh, yes! Loveline. We'll be right back. Call on the 1-800-LOVE.
Hey, everybody. Yeah, that's our friends, the Colt, who are on here night before last. Is that right, Drew?
Yep.
That's right. It's Loveline. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Patton Oswalt is here tonight, along with Brian Posehn. They will be found at the Irvine Improv at the Irvine Spectrum. That is the 20th through the 24th. That is Wednesday through
Sunday.
Yeah. Two shows Friday night, three shows on Saturday night, and then Sunday they commit suicide together.
Exactly.
In their dressing rooms. Oh, on stage.
Yeah, we're going to play Seasons in the Sun, and it'll be really nice. I don't want to spoil the surprises.
Is a headliner, how much time you got to do? An hour?
About 45 minutes an hour.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I say that every night.
It's hard.
Mm. Yeah, that's... And don't... Now... Obviously, you're not going. You'll do relatively the same act.
Relatively, but you know, some nights it's not going well, and you go to different stuff, or you got to deal with people that are talking to you, and
right.
I mean, it's generally the same thing. I don't claim to be that prolific, but
doesn't
I switch it around.
Doesn't it freak you out though when you see the waitress that was at the first show heading up to the table in the front? And you're in the middle of a joke that you said 2 hours ago.
Well,
I'm not trying to make you feel bad.
It's
but
weird when you're doing
like,
three shows, yeah, and you're doing that much time. The third show, you're in the middle of a joke going, did I already tell this?
Or I've repeated jokes within the same set some nights when I had to do.
Yeah.
Back in the heyday when they would do the three shows a night, you get to that 11:30 show and you would repeat a joke you did 5 minutes before.
How do you know you repeated it? Oh, somebody would yell at you.
Because people would go, just said that.
He just repeated himself.
But also, you
and then they'd have sex with their kids.
The cruel part of the mind is it's not strong enough to stop you from repeating the joke, but it is powerful enough to catch you about three quarters
right
of the way
you're doing the setup. Yeah.
Well,
and then
because
you keep going.
Your mind is also cruel enough to you can literally at the point you can get to the point you can just tune out during your own set, and in your mind you're going, I got to return those videos, and I should probably email that one dumb guy, and then you literally come to. In the middle of your own act.
It's really an amazing thing, and I'm thankful the mind is that way. But, I mean, do you remember, like, the first time you drove a car and you're trying to figure out the stick and the clutch and the steering and everything, and now you're on a cell phone and you're smoking and you got thermos of Kamchatka between your legs and you're yelling at some kids that aren't even yours in the back seat.
Uh-huh.
It's like... You dropped a Quaalude earlier and you're on some Viking and it's nothing. And you're driving better than you were when you had the full concentration. You were trying to learn it.
Yeah, or if you make the same trip every day and you will literally zone out and you'll realize, oh, God, I just drove for 10 minutes. I wasn't even...
Right.
When did I make these turns? Oh,
yeah.
That's right. Oh, man.
But I think it you have to do it because if you were a airplane pilot or stand-up or you hosted a radio show, your head, your brain would fry if you gave it the same amount of concentration the first time out as you did the 2000th time you did it.
I'm not making a good account of ourselves. Like, folks, come out next week and watch me ignore you on stage.
We're going to phone it in next week.
Folks,
watch him sleepwalk right through
the set. I won't even be present.
I won't know you're there.
Try to guess who I'm reminding myself to call while I'm in the middle of my act.
I'm going to write some new material while you're hearing my old material. Justin?
Hi.
You're 13. What's up?
I have this lump under my left nipple, and it, like, you can't see it when you're, like, standing in front of it, but it, like, hurts when you push on it, and I was wondering what it could be.
Well, it's around your age, the adrenal glands start producing some hormones that cause breast enlargement. Sometimes it's both, sometimes it's one. You smoke a lot of pot, it can get worse or even stay, but it's a normal thing right at the beginning of puberty.
Or it could be a twin that didn't live.
Yeah.
You could have a twin inside you.
More likely, yeah.
Yeah. Or you could be growing a new little head, and then that will take over your body.
Right,
but it's a normal thing at 13. Okay, Justin.
So it'll go away.
Yeah. Probably.
Are you smoking weed?
I did a while ago, but I'm not.
You mean like 10 minutes ago?
No, like a couple years ago.
Nah.
When you were 11.
And you're 11.
Right.
When I was like 9.
Oh,
ooh, 9.
Wow.
Just Robert Downey Jr. in the making.
Mm-hmm. You're using the My First Bong you get over at the head shops. Special grip on it for a smaller hand.
Yeah, the Blues Clues pipe.
All right, Justin, you're not smoking any more weed, though, right?
Right.
All right there, buddy. I'm glad to see you've cleaned it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not the late...
Oh, it's a gateway. You're onto heroin.
Yeah, it's not the late 90s anymore. You're not 9. It's time to move on. All righty, let's talk to Anna, who's 19. Anna?
It's Anna.
Anna, sorry.
We're Hispanics, whatever.
All right. Well, let me bring that up, though.
Are there two of you?
No, that was the tape.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Isn't Anna the pronunciation more for Hispanic than Anna?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Are you fancy Hispanic?
How would you pronounce how would you pronounce the same? A-N-N-A-M-A-R-I-A.
Ana Maria.
Right.
Right. Ana Maria.
Right. So what's wrong with that?
That's what I'm asking.
How she says Ana Maria, Anna Maria.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting, Drew. What's up there, Anna?
Okay. Well, tonight I was driving home from work, and there was this really cute guy in the car next to me. And he didn't, you know, he looked pretty young, pretty normal, about 27. So he was smiling, and I was smiling at him. And then we pulled over in a parking lot and started talking, and I found out that he was actually 40.
Wait a minute. How did the pull over in the parking lot part go?
Well, okay. I was driving home, but then I, like, drove past my house just so that I could, like, pull over and talk to him.
Did he wave you over to the side?
No, like, it was me. Like, I initiated the whole thing.
Do you pull people off the street and talk to them very often?
like, sometimes.
Wow.
Flashy.
Yeah.
You rule.
How old are you again?
Where do you live?
19. Anna, we're going to find you.
19. You know, as a guy in his mid-30s, I say go with that. please support that.
That poor guy
needs some loving.
Tell all your friends.
He has wisdom he can give you.
We're gonna find you in a shallow grave out there somewhere.
Yeah, why bother with this internet and all that crap when you can just hit the road and pull guys over?
Exactly.
Yeah, go on abandoned highways at 2 a.m.
Exactly.
See who you find.
You're gonna end up somewhere. I don't know.
Well, it was like a public parking lot, and I don't know.
Well, then it's okay, perfect.
Yeah.
All right, as long as it wasn't a privately owned parking lot.
Riders on the Storm.
So what happened? You found out he was 40.
So I found out he was 40, and then we sat there for about like an hour and a half, and we were just talking, and he actually has a daughter that's like
19.
older than me.
Ugh.
And he said that he was like looking for a relationship, and I said that I
of course he is. Some girl just flagged him off the freeway.
You wouldn't be driving around alone unless you were looking to start
something.
No, well, he doesn't live in town. He was like
It'd be great, though. I could see
most drifters don't live in town. Yeah, most drifters, that's why they're called drifters.
Yeah. You know it'd be funny, though. Hold on. If you guys ended up getting married and people are like, so where did you guys meet? Oh, on the road. And he was like, oh, what, were you in a band or something?
Flagged him down.
No, on the road.
Yeah.
All right, so he has a kid.
He has three kids.
Three kids.
Right. He has two daughters and a son. And he has a daughter and a son that are older than me.
What happened to his marriage?
So what's your question? I say go for it.
Yeah. You get to boss around. You get to be their mom. You can boss them around. That'll be awesome.
Where's his wife?
What? They're divorced.
How long?
They're divorced.
How long have they been divorced?
They've been divorced for 9 years.
He left her in a parking lot.
Yeah. With it for a 19-year-old.
So, Anna, do you want to yield or merge into oncoming traffic?
Yeah, what's your question?
Yeah, what is your question?
Well, I just kind of wanted, like, y'all's opinion. Like, what you think, like...
Well, you think he's a loser.
Are you Hispanic?
Yes.
Okay. He's a loser. I don't even know if I want to get into what's up with her.
No, okay.
Although, just for giggles, just introduce him to your folks. That'll be awesome. That's going to be a great moment. You'll never forget it.
Well, like, my dad is 12 years older than my mom.
I see.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right, but listen. Like, hold on. Why are we...
You didn't grow up with your dad?
No.
Where was he?
He was just like... my parents divorced, and I was like...
Okay, but why are we crucifying this guy? He's driving, a cute chick looks
exactly.
at him.
They
exchange glances.
Totally,
and then
yeah.
She says,
you told him to pull over.
Pull over the Costco line.
Yeah.
Let's exchange numbers.
Most guys would look away or get nervous, and this guy went, no, carpe diem.
Right.
Exactly.
I'd just drive home and masturbate.
Right, so, all right, so...
I'm just, like, wondering,
is he going to call you? Does he have your number?
Yeah, well, we exchange numbers, but I don't know, I feel like...
So he's courting you.
I feel kind of icky because he's 40, but
You should feel icky.
You just want to use the word icky and you want to go with a 40-year-old? Come on!
Yeah.
No, but I don't look like I'm 19, though.
Okay.
I look a lot
You look like you're 50.
All right, but what about finding a guy who's closer to your age? Are you having trouble with that?
Oh, the guys my age are losers, though.
Yeah.
What age do you consider?
unlike
the 40-year-old.
What age do you consider?
Cruising the street.
Really with the three kids.
He has a really good job and a really nice car. And
all right, what kind of car, what kind of job?
Oh, he's a lawyer.
All right.
And he drives a BMW.
All right. Mm-hmm.
What age do you consider guys your age?
Guys my age are, like, you know, 18, 19, 20, up until, like, 23.
Yeah. Why'd you say a 25-year-old?
Because I haven't found one. I don't know, but...
Whoa.
Get in your car.
Yeah.
Right, hit the road.
There is a guy right now.
Fill
in
your
neighborhood.
Tank.
Yeah. How old's the guy's son? Maybe you can date him.
Mm.
But when I date older guys, I just feel, like, more secure.
All right. Well, date him. Just don't get pregnant.
Yeah, because he'll never dump you.
And don't die. Don't get killed.
Yeah. Guy's an attorney, drives a BMW, has three kids.
They have really nice trunks, the BMWs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're, you know, carpeting.
and she pulled him over.
I know. I
mean, man, he went for it.
Love American style.
I mean, that's like Bill Clinton's alibi. Hey, she showed me her G-string.
All right, but hold on. You know those Mexican broads that wear a ton of clown makeup? They all look like they're off the set of Mucho Gigante. Let me tell you something about Mexican women. They can either be 17 or 77, but they all look 38. Big rack, big ass, you know. He didn't know. You can't judge the age of a Mexican woman. You cannot.
But he was told. She told him.
All right.
Mucho gigante.
Allison. Allison, you're 19.
Oh, my yeah. God.
What's up?
Me and my ex-boyfriend were dating for about... around 18 months. I went with a group of friends to Chicago and all girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came back like a week later, he was like, maybe we should take a break. And I was like, okay, fine, F him. And when I went back to work, there was this new guy at work and I started getting interested in him. And I don't know if it's because I just was out of a long relationship or I really like him.
A little bit of both.
All right. So now you got a new guy you like.
Yeah.
And the question is?
Should I go for him or keep my guard up?
How long, your guard up for what?
How long was the relationship you just got out of?
Around 18 months.
18 months. And how long have you been out?
Oh, 2 months.
Yeah, 2 months, pretty good. Yeah. It's okay to start dating. Just be careful, that's all. Don't jump into anything.
Oh, well, yeah, why?
You should always keep your guard up.
Yeah.
Like, forever.
Be careful.
Have you been chipping?
With everybody.
Have you been chipping with the old guy? I mean, you've been seeing him?
Works for me.
Excuse me?
Have you seen the old guy in the 2 months?
No.
No, so it's over.
Well, we work at the same place. And I want to, and I don't want him to think if this guy, well, if this new guy and I start getting together, that if he thinks I'm doing it just to get back at him.
Well, 2 months is a long time. He's probably seeing someone by now.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
He probably was when he broke up with you.
Yeah. Right.
When you came back, well, you were in Chicago. Yeah. He was like sweet girlfriends away, loving with some other
girl. And that's why he said he wanted to cool off.
Could be. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and
that's what I'd be doing.
Yeah, well, that's a great line. If she goes out of town for 2 weeks and comes back, it's like, we need some time.
Yeah.
Where was I for the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. So, Allison,
huh?
We're giving you the green light to date this guy.
Okay, thank
you. Where do you guys work?
I work at a law firm.
All right.
And is he out cruising
is he
at 40? Night? Yeah, is he 40? Did you meet him in a parking lot?
No, I just listened to that one.
No.
Us no. Too.
What's actually, he do?
He's a lawyer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How old is he?
He's 22.
22-year-old lawyer?
No, really? I'm the secretary.
No,
but he's 22 and a lawyer?
He's a 22-year-old lawyer?
Yeah, very young.
See
lawyer.
The Doogie House
yeah,
of lawyers?
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, how do you do that?
I mean, 8 years in college.
No, it's like
he must be some weird genius guy.
I mean, you got to do at least six years,
actually,
right?
Well, he's still in college. It's just that his father is the big honcho for the law firm.
Oh, definitely, Dave.
Yeah, so he's not an attorney.
Oh. Work your way up, girly.
Allison, he's not an attorney.
But he just gets to try the baby cases, just the ones where no death was involved or nothing.
All right.
He's not even, just barely out of college, right?
Well, he has like a year and a half left to go, yeah.
Of college?
Yeah.
Then he has 3 years. Then he has 3 years of law school.
Yeah.
Then he has to pass the bar.
Didn't you see the paper chase?
All right. Listen, Allison, it'll all be over by then anyway, so you might as well enjoy yourself, okay?
Okay.
All right. Good luck with those lawyers.
Okay.
Big pains in the ass, all of them. I got a couple attorney friends. They're just, they argue on. You know,
they're worse than Mexicans, aren't they?
They really are.
You know what's the worst
thank
thing?
Thank God there's no Mexican lawyer.
Yeah, I was about to say, Mexican lawyer is the worst.
Well, they don't have any as of yet, but one day there will be a Mexican lawyer.
Should be a slang term for like bad sex. How was it? Oh, she gave me a Mexican lawyer. It was really bad. Wasn't even there.
John?
Hello?
You're 21.
Mucho Hidalgo? I'm still hung up on that.
What's up, guys?
What's up there, John?
Oh, not much. Just want to tell you guys, hey, look, I love your show. It's awesome. Adam, Drew, you guys are awesome.
Great.
Basically, I'm calling because I have a rather weird situation I've realized over the years. I spent a lot of time working on computers as a graphic artist. And while I'm online, while I'm working on my computer, I have a chat program. Random people seem to instant message me and send me all kinds of notes and stuff over the connection. And it seems like while I'm working, I'm talking with them, and they seem to get kind of attached. Okay. Mostly it's females. Okay. The weird thing that I've noticed is that a lot of these girls, they get to the point of where, if I was in the same area as they were, they'd totally go out with me.
Right.
So the odd thing about this is that when, like, I'm socializing with others, I'm more of an entertainer, and no one really takes that kind of interest.
Right. All right.
So you, when you're out, you're just the computer guy.
Well, yeah, I'm knowledgeable with computers and everything, but I don't make that the mainstay of my conversations.
Right. Mostly Dungeons & Dragons and Star Trek. That would be the sort of base of the... No.
Actually, those are the other people.
All right. So... do you have much confidence when you're out with people?
Oh, yeah. I mean, people have their own opinions and everything, but I really don't care what they think or what they say
uh-oh.
About me.
Uh-oh. That's always a bad thing.
That's a
thing.
Bad sign. Mm-hmm.
The people that don't care really need to care the most.
Yeah, they actually do.
Or the people that say they don't care actually care 10 times more.
Right. Either way, start caring, all of you.
Well, I mean, if you look at it this way, I mean, all through high school, I was a really quiet person. Ever since I got out, I mean, I've been very social. I've been, you know, not so much the loner anymore.
Yeah. Right.
And all throughout my school years, I've been criticized, I've been ridiculed and everything. So, right. You know, it really doesn't have that much of effect. So,
set the taser to care, geek, everybody, really and let's... all right, hey John.
Well, yeah. the online, people can present themselves in very appealing ways online. People that have developed that skill of showing a sort of interesting persona online can be very attractive.
I mean, all the girls that are attached to you online are gay middle-aged men, I can assure you right
also,
now.
They're attached to a fantasy, and the fantasy is something that you help them create through how you present
Your
yourself.
Your screen name of Han Solo isn't helping.
I say you got it good. You don't have to spend any money. You don't have to take them out anywhere. You just have cyber sex with fat girls, and you've got the life.
Or middle-aged gay men.
See, the thing is I don't do the cyber sex like a lot of these other people do.
All right, yes.
I mean, it's not, you know, I don't find any interest in it.
We understand you're no tramp, John, but let's get down to the brass tacks here. Have you ever had a girlfriend?
No, I haven't.
No. And so are you a virgin?
Yeah.
Shocking. And you'd like to have a...
Shocking.
You'd like to have a real relationship, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so next time you strike up a conversation with one of these people and they seem to be somewhere in the vicinity, why don't you see about meeting them in some parking lot somewhere and working something out? And why don't you get together? I mean, you got to kind of, you know, finish. You're not a good closer, as Drew likes to say. Mm. You meet them, you talk to them, and then you let them off the hook. You got to gaff your catch on board and club them. And then you mount that.
You're a computer guy. Create the perfect girl on your computer.
And, that's right. A lightning bolt. They'll hit your parents' place.
Yeah, double.
You know, have Steven Seagal's wife in your house. And yeah, it'll be great.
We're just saying that you should double click the icon. You're not. You're just clicking it once, and you're lighting it up, and then you're not double clicking it and getting it open.
Right. Right.
No, well, the thing is it's not like I talked to him just one time.
All right, John. Day.
John,
you know what you have to do now. It ain't on paper anymore.
Now go outside.
Yeah. Right, right. You know, it's so funny. Guys do this all the time. The guys who haven't gotten any love to talk about their massive potential for getting some. And to me, that just makes their case worse.
And they always say, no women. But the thing is, and they'll say some other excuse that, but the thing is.
Right. A lot of chicks dig me. I just will not let them handle my chunk is basically what they're saying. But yet. You can tell they'd love to go out on a date and get into something. So that's it. You got to jump in. And you know what? It gets harder the longer you wait.
Oh, boy.
I mean,
otherwise, you find yourself at 40 cruising around.
Yeah, and the longer you're a nerd, the nerdier you get. Yeah. It just gets worse.
Oh, it gets really bad.
Yeah.
You start painting pewter figurines and, you know, fencing. You join a fencing club thinking that's going to get you the chicks.
You start getting into, like, Civil War recreations
that. Yeah, it can get really bad.
You only obsess over one Star Trek episode. You have that one episode.
You start hosting murder mystery parties where you go to solve them. But I'm Hercule Poirot. Oh, God.
And then the great part is when you start really building the cases against the guys who do actually get laid.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that big jock strap. I bet he don't have two brain cells to rub together. Meanwhile, who cares? The guy's banging the bejesus out of someone new every weekend.
Uh-huh.
This is becoming quite cathartic for us, isn't
very
it, fellas?
Cathartic, yeah.
All right, let's take a break before someone starts crying.
Love Line. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey, everybody. There we go. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Patton Oswalt is here, so is Brian Posehn. Just Shoot Me and King of Queens are the name of their shows, and you can also find them at the Irvine Improv, at the Irvine Spectrum. That would be June 20th through the 24th, and multi-shows on the weekends, everybody. And you guys stay out there? When you go out there, you just drive back and forth?
We'll be going back and forth.
Yeah, because you guys are in town, right?
You need
to stay out there.
Oh, no.
Although Irvine is kind of nice in a boring way.
We can stay in Newport.
It's sort of clean.
But it's clean in a creepy kind of way.
Like a Stepford way.
Like a freshly sprayed
kind of
way.
But it's kind of weird. Like you pull into a gas station and you go, hey, can I use the bathroom? And there's some, like, perky-eyed blonde kid who's 21 who goes, sure, no problem. And you start looking around like you're suspicious. Yeah. Like, where's that steel-eyed foreigner yelling at me? This is not comfortable.
Right.
What's going on here?
There's no bulletproof glass in any of the gas stations.
Right.
You're looking to see if there's, like, weird alien attachments on the back of people's necks.
Right. the guy just said, thank you, come again. What do you think he was getting at? Maybe there's someone underneath the counters holding a gun to him or something. maybe. You're waiting for, like, Harrison Ford from Blade Runner to come sliding in and put the guy down or something.
Give him a Voight Kampff test.
Right.
You're walking across a desert and you see a turtle.
Right, it's just a bunch of nice folks who aren't interested in crime or being rude, and I don't know how to process that. I don't trust them. You're right.
No.
Steve.
Yeah.
You're 40. What's up?
Hey, I gotta tell you, y'all are awesome. I love your opinions, whether it hurts anybody's feelings or not.
Well, but we like Europeans too. Thank you.
What's that?
What's up, Steve?
10-4, Steve.
I had a question.
Yeah. Right.
I want your opinion on this. I just got divorced. Okay, had three stepkids.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much raised them from the time there's like.
Please say knee high to a boll weevil.
I mean, did you hook up with a 19-year-old girl in a parking lot?
No, tell you what, I heard that too, and there ain't nothing wrong with a 4-year-old guy, man. Okay.
No.
All right.
So you raised your stepkids.
Right. Okay. When we first got together, we was together for 10 years.
Right.
Okay. When we first got together, the oldest one was like 4. The next one was 3. The other one was like a year.
Right. Now.
Okay. Well, I raised them, you know, the best way. I'm from the old school. My mom and dad was divorced when I was 2 years old.
Right.
That's old school.
Okay.
Right. Right.
My mom did her best to raise me and my sister. She went to work during the day, went to school at night, got her better jobs than that, you know, and progressed. We pretty much got to do pretty much what we did, you know, wanted to do.
I understand all that, but now you're divorced.
Well, my question is, I heard the girl talking earlier about the lock on the door and stuff and wanting to do whatever she wanted to her room or whatever.
Right, right.
Well, that's all fine and dandy, but where do you draw the line?
Well, you're divorced now, though, right? So it doesn't really matter.
I've got two daughters. I've been married. This is second marriage.
I see. Okay.
I think that you draw the line at the written word. I think they should have an opportunity to have their own sort of private journals or diaries, that kind of thing.
Well, I understand that. But
anything else that requires trust, they have to earn that. I mean, really, it's just like a treaty with another country. It's trust and verify.
Well,
it really is.
I more look at it as a prisoner that's in a camp, which is... Yeah, they got to
earn the privilege,
their recreation time.
It's like, hey, you don't trust me. That's right. When you give me reason to trust you, then I trust you.
Well, here's but it's a balance. You have to knock on the door and ask if you can come in.
You have to be respectful of their space, but
right.
You don't leave it be as though they can be trusted with their privacy. You assume that they're going to be up to something. It's a
really
better assumption.
True?
Yeah.
Why?
Steve's
done a good job with them. But how old are they?
Well, right now, the oldest one's...
No, not now. How old are they?
The stepkids are 14. I got a daughter that's 17.
Right. And don't you have another daughter as well?
Yeah, she turned 2 last fall.
2.
Oh, okay. So you don't have to worry about her for another 6 years, right? Yeah. But the 17-year-old you're worried about a little?
Pretty much.
And what's she doing? Or how are her grades?
Oh, she's doing real good.
Right.
Doing real good.
So you can trust her.
You trust her.
Yeah.
All right.
But, I mean, I still got feelings for my stepkids, too, you know.
Yeah. Tough.
Yeah.
I mean, when I go to see my daughter, you know, on visitation, that stepkids are there. They come out, you know. And
yeah.
Two of them, the two daughters, there's two girls and a boy. The two daughters won't even call me by my name.
Why?
They call me Dad.
Right.
Okay.
What do you think they call me, a-hole?
Well, no.
No, Steve, listen, that's tough. And it's something we never talk about on this show, which is, what about the stepkids that you essentially raise? I mean, they're 4, 3, and 2 or something like that. Then you get divorced, and technically, you're sort of out of the picture. I think you just have to work that one out. I mean, I think if they love you and you love them and you have a relationship and hopefully you don't burn any bridges with the ex, you still keep the relationship going.
It's hard. A lot of times the women, you know, the mom won't allow it.
Oh, thank God I hated my stepmom. Did you guys have step-parents?
Nope.
No, didn't.
Just mom's boyfriends.
It's bad.
She never,
really?
She never mom, got one to commit never, completely. No, just had a bunch of boyfriends, yeah.
Yeah, were they all right?
No, mostly bad guys, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? And never. And what about dad? Did he remarry?
No, he died when I was really little, so.
Oh, boy. So you got some issues then, right, Brian?
A whole lot. Yeah. Come to the Irvine Improv.
Oh, okay.
Irvine.
Yeah, I was going to, but it took a turn. Can we wrap up early tonight?
You can take off, Em. Quick, out the back here.
I'm feeling uncomfortable. Diana?
Hi.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I just had a couple questions. Like, I've been doing, like, acid and mushrooms and ecstasy and stuff like that. And I want to know how long it would be before, like, I'd have, like, some sort of effect. Or what kind of toll would it take on me later on in life?
Well, the most common thing is chronic depression.
Uh-huh.
And that's sort of where it starts.
Yeah. And I've also, like, I've been depressed before.
Yeah, well, you will be again.
Okay, so, like, I heard that there was, like, after, like, a certain, like, number of, like, times that you fry, like, you're considered, like, clinically insane. Is that true? Is there such number?
No, there's no such number.
No? So, like, that's just, like, all BS?
There's no such number. There's no doubt that this will damage your brain. There's no doubt that you'll have problems psychiatrically as a result. And if that's something somebody considers clinically insane, well, there you go.
Okay.
Hey, Diana?
Uh-huh.
Why take the chance? I mean, why monkey? Why don't you let your brain dry, and then you can go ahead and have a pass at it? That's what I did.
Yeah, I haven't been doing it, like, that much anymore. Like, I just, like, smoke pot and stuff and, like, drink.
But just drinking and weed?
Yeah, you know, occasionally just, like, to hang out and, like, kick back.
Yeah.
Did you do the acid, like, alone or with other people?
We did it usually, like, in groups. It was kind of like, I don't know, like, we'd have, like, these, like, weird little commune things going on.
But so. You have a family history of alcoholism, right?
Actually, when I was a freshman, I was really depressed, and, I was drinking a lot, and, during that time, like, I tried to kill myself, so.
Okay, well.
But family history, meaning your dad or your mom?
Oh, no.
Really?
No.
Come on.
Do you know your dad or your mom?
Yeah.
Really?
You know both of them?
No, I actually only live with my mother.
All right, so you don't know your dad.
Oh, but I do know my dad.
Is he an alcoholic?
No.
Do you smoke a lot of pot?
But I think that there was a history of drug abuse, I believe heroin, actually.
Who?
My father.
All right. Go ahead and let us in on that one.
That's
what we're going after, is that that you got the gene from somewhere.
Okay.
That dad's the one that's got it.
See, Diana?
Uh-huh.
Unlike, I can do whatever drugs I want because all I inherited from my family was the boring gene.
Well, no, the lazy gene, too.
I'm lazy and boring. Yeah. The same gene.
The napping gene, I guess it is, yeah.
Napping and jacking, I think I got from my grandfather's side. I'm not sure. I got to talk to my grandmother about that. I'm pretty sure it was a chronic
masturbator. It skips
a
generation.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
But it's on the father's side?
Yeah, but if it's your grandfather, then you've got it, both barrels.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right. But, Diana, you are heading for trouble.
Yeah,
and I know you don't care because
actually, what? I do care, you know. Like that's kind of why. Like I need to have a life, and I need to have a
career,
and I need to do something.
Yeah, you do.
Well, you also need to have a brain that doesn't get severely damaged.
Very true.
That's what you're going to use to get the job, right?
Yeah.
All right, and don't get pregnant either.
No, nothing, never, ever.
Okay.
No kids.
Listen, I would consider this nation back on track if everybody didn't get strung out or pregnant before their 21st birthday. I mean, think about what utopia we'd be living in.
So many problems.
Yeah,
and you know, it's funny. People are always talking about college, career training, that kind of stuff, following your muse. Forget all that. Just don't do those two things.
Mm-hmm.
Try to make it to your 21st birthday without either being pregnant, getting someone else pregnant, or getting strung out on something.
You should get a car when you're 21 if you can do that. They do a thing where you just get, like, not like a little Miata, I mean, like a little Honda Civic.
I would like to offer that incentive myself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, with a
car.
Yeah, with, by the way, a trunk full of Lucky Strikes and Jack Daniels or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, big payday kind of thing. Sort of a Goyim Bar Mitzvah.
Remember that guy that we had about a year ago called? He said his uncle wasn't giving him a car if he never masturbated.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
that? Yeah.
That's he ended up killing his uncle. Really weird.
That's right, and driving his car.
I read that story. Driving his car around while jerking off.
He was caught masturbating his uncle's car on the grapevine. Oh, wait a minute. Drew, who do you have to talk to? Let's see. Let's take one more call, then we'll go to break. We'll speak to Jason, who's 14. Jason?
Yeah.
What's up?
Not much, really.
All right.
I've been waiting to congratulate you on the pristine penis, man.
Oh, me? Yes, thank you. Drew tested my penis on the air. He dumped acetic acid on it, then shined a black light on it, and it came up pristine.
What does that mean? Like no weird bumps no warts. Or contusions?
Yeah, he was looking for things.
Oh, he was wearing a stunt penis that night.
Suspicious.
Yeah. Yeah, he said it was didn't look like it had ever been used, as a matter of fact. Is that what you said, Drew?
Stunt penis.
Thank you. Jason?
Yeah.
Right.
So, I'm homeschooled.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's trouble.
Oh, yep. I hate it.
Why are you homeschooled if you don't want to be homeschooled?
Because, like, they were going to fail me last year, so my mom decided to put me in homeschool to kind of get my grades straightened out.
And oh, boy.
Right. She'd give you a few A's and send you back in.
Yeah, I'm going back in next year.
Okay. And it's a diabolical plan. It's like, well, you guys were going to give him an F, but I'm going to give him an A, and then I'll send him back. He'll be on the honor roll next year. Great. And maybe she can give you like a varsity football trophy and a track scholarship or something, like a Letterman's jacket, too. Yeah. Gets a big H on it for the homeschooling.
Photoshop some prom pictures of you and Christina Aguilera. Really make your high school work out.
Right. Those years would be so much better.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so that's a great plan. And then you're heading back. So what's your question?
Well, my parents, I think it's mostly my dad, they smoke a lot of pot. And
they're homeschooling you?
Hence clearly. The plan. Yeah.
And I'm
they're
trying
dumb
to get,
hippies.
I'm trying to get out of the house, and I can't, like, go to any therapy or anything or Alateen or...
Why not?
Why can't you go?
Because they won't, like, let me out of the house or anything.
Why?
Because I tried to run away, like, last month, and now they, like, locked me in the house. And
well, do they go to work during the day?
My dad does, but my mom stays with me all day.
Why'd you try to run away?
Because they were basically yelling at me all the time and trying to keep me away from my friends.
Wow.
And they smoke a lot of weed, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe you can have some home therapy.
It's like a mellow. Usually, it's like a mellow high. Why would they be screaming at you?
Yeah, yeah. It is. It makes people more docile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my mom's not that into it, but they both totally deny it when I tried to talk to them about it.
Oh boy. Hey, Jason, do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yeah, I have a little brother and sister.
Oh boy. And how are they doing?
They don't seem stable at all. They're always out to get me, and
How old are they? How old are they?
8 and 5.
You got a 5-year-old like cutting the brake lines on your bicycle, or
yeah, he is really.
Jesus. All right, hey Jason.
Mm-hmm.
First off, let me apologize on behalf of all adults for your parents, and it's I'm sorry that you have to become sort of an adult when you should be enjoying your high school years. I don't know what... I'm glad you're going to be reintroduced to school. Part of the thing is you shouldn't have flunked out last year and you wouldn't be in this predicament.
Right.
So it'd be a good idea that when you did get introduced back into school, that you got your grades up, right?
Yeah, because I'm, like, moving this year, so I'll be going to a different school.
Why are you moving?
I don't know. Well, our house is pretty small, so. And we'll be like.
Have you seen your dad smoke pot?
Yeah.
Every day?
Not every day. I don't see him, but I've seen him.
How many times?
I've seen him about 20 times.
Right. Hey, if you go back to high school, can't you talk to the counselors there or maybe try to get some help once you're. If you're in high school during the day and you're away from your parents, can't you ask for help then?
Yeah, I guess I can, but...
Yeah, but that's,
I'm not so sure the parent smoking pot is the issue here.
Yeah. What do you mean?
He's making it the issue. You understand?
Yeah.
Jason's got some stuff going on. He's been a behavior problem. He's flunking out of school. Yeah. He wants to make it their problem.
Yeah, Jason, why were you flunking out of school?
I was basically the class clown, really.
You were like a big jerk off at school?
Well, I had a lot of friends and everything, but I wasn't really respected because I wasn't doing well. And
you weren't respected?
Yeah, by like
the faculty?
The teachers dissed you?
Yeah, really, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Jason?
Yeah.
You know, we're hearing your side of the story, and it's probably best that your parents don't tell us their side of the story, because you sound like a pain in the ass. I mean, you're kind of a troublemaker, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. So maybe your parents are disciplining you, and you don't like it,
they're keeping the hatches
battened down on your ship because you're out of control.
Yeah, that's what they need to do.
They let you out in the bay, and you sunk.
Yeah.
Any more ship references you guys want to toss in?
Remember the Maine. It's
supposed to be a three-hour tour.
Remember the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald? Yeah. We touched on it earlier today.
Jason, it's too rough to feed you.
No, Jason, you
we're
going to
need a bigger boat.
You need this. I'm sorry that your parents were rough on you, and that certainly they have a role to play in the condition you're in right now, but it sounds like they're doing their parenting right now.
Thank you. We'll be back.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dave Navarro. You're listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yeah, you are. And Dave Navarro will be in here on Sunday. Then the big showdown with Pennywise, 311 and some 41. Patton Oswalt and Brian Posehn are both here tonight. You can find them at the Irvine Improv, at the Irvine Spectrum, the 20th through the 24th, next week, Wednesday through Sunday. Multi-shows on the weekends, everybody. Let's talk to Phil, who's 15. Phil?
Yeah, I was wondering how you think abstinence affects teen and college relationships.
What do you mean?
Like, do you think, like, being abstinence in high school affects you less than in college?
Depends if it's by choice.
Affects you less. What do you mean?
Yeah, like, do you think people are more likely to break up in college because of someone decides to be abstinence in the relationship?
Well, if one of them does, but if they both agree on abstinence, then it seems like...
then it works out.
Would work out.
Right, but I mean, like, you know, our...
Yeah. You're not asking a clear question.
Well, it's not that out there. Yeah.
In relationships, like in high school and college, are people more likely to break up if one person decides to be abstinent?
Yes. Why? What do you got going?
Oh, nothing. I'm not in a relationship. I never have been. But I'm wondering, like, what the statistics are.
Well, forget about abstinence. It's like if one person wants to go to Europe and the other person doesn't want to go,
right.
Or one person wants to have a kid, or one person wants... Anytime there's one in a couple that
right.
wants to do something mm-hmm. drastically different, especially when it's a basic need like sex, you're going to have a little friction, and you probably have a higher likelihood of them breaking up.
All right. I was just wondering, because I always hear people call in, and they're always saying how one's abstinence and they want to break up or...
No, you hear guys complaining about that, but some guys will hang in with that. They will.
Yeah.
You don't hear women complaining about that.
Yeah.
All right there, Phil. How are you doing? You got a girlfriend?
No, I'm 15. I never have.
Mm-hmm.
Are you planning to stay abstinent?
What?
You planning
No.
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 You can't wait to shed
You're
that.
Just curious?
Yeah, I was just wondering, because you always hear calls like that.
Yeah. I was not planning on being abstinent when I was 15 either. Unfortunately, it was forced upon me by
the law.
Well, the student body.
The other half of the population.
Student body at North Hollywood High. And then after that, it actually spread into the San Fernando Valley. So it was, I don't know if they had a meeting. I wasn't, I'm not paranoid, but somehow they all found out about it.
It's become an international thing for me, actually.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I've taken it into the jet age. It's really
wow.
nice. Yeah.
Really expanding.
Oh, yeah.
Gloria?
Yeah?
You're 30. What's up?
Oh, okay. I'm freaking out, kind of. My girlfriend and I, well, best friend and I are just hanging out. All of our boys are over here playing. My 5-year-old and her 4-year-old were up on his top bunk, and she walked in on, like, the 4-year-old just pulling up his pants, and then my 5-year-old says that he had his mouth on his weenie.
Really?
Well, yeah.
On the boy's weenie.
On the little boy's weenie, and my little boy doesn't lie, and he's been telling me about a bunch of stuff, how it's happened before, like three times.
Yeah. With whom? With the same kid?
The same little kid.
Which is your friend's kid.
Which is my friend's kid.
So you think something's happened to the friend's kid?
What?
So you think something happened to the friend's kid to make him do that?
No, they're so normal. Boys know nothing. Yeah. I mean, I'm a single mom, so, I mean, but there's nothing, no issues in any kind of,
Go ahead.
Is your kid the one that's pitching or catching? Or I'm well, sorry to put it that way. But
this time, he was
I mix pitching, it up.
But he said it's happened before, and they both did the... Both, whatever.
They both traded off.
He said that before they each.
And why was he doing it? Did he say?
He didn't say. He won't say. And he's pretty good about telling me.
Well, there's only one way the kids do things that are sexual, or explicitly sexual. And that's when an adult does something to them, or another child who has been abused by an adult then does it to the children, and the children start doing it to each other.
Untrue, though. Drew and I argue about this.
I can't get that out of him. Oh, I just shouldn't have said his name, I guess. But
all of his friends now are listening.
Oops.
All of his 4-year-old friends are writing this down right now.
Right.
But, okay, so the one little boy.
Yeah.
I mean, neither
Carter.
One of them.
Right. Carter.
Please don't say his name.
It's anymore. A common name.
Yeah. No, it's not.
No.
Neither one of these little kids have been.
And the kids will do weird, random things with their genitalia, especially the boys. There's no doubt they will.
Yeah.
But
I mean, is it somewhat just curiosity?
Some of it can be, but the mouth is going a little bit.
Yeah, it's pushing it, but it's still within the realm of experimentation.
Possibly.
I mean, the good news is, if God forbid he ever has to do time, he's sort of prepared himself. He's up on the bunk,
Don't laugh, Adam.
No,
I
know. Listen. I
would.
Drew and I argue about this sometimes, mm-hmm. because Drew has kids that are around that age, and he gets really freaked out about it.
Okay, so
but
Drew.
kids do a lot of crazy things, and it doesn't mean that they were sexually abused.
But kids in homes where there's a lot of emotional stress will particularly be the ones that sort of become exhibitionistic and sort of do weird stuff with the genitalia. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Plus, if they're watching a lot of gay porn, they're gonna try what they see on TV.
If they've been exposed to sexual material, or if they've been the adult does something.
Especially if Elmo's doing it.
And it's very common for children that have been sexually abused then to act out on other children. Now, this may be something random. Personally, if those are my kids, I would have them evaluated for sure.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah. Here's how the evaluation works. Son, here's some clay. I'm going to go down to the lobby and get some coffee. You make something out of clay, and then I'll be back to charge your parents $85.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Hello. This is your radio. Radio. Loveline will be right back.
Everybody, that's it. Another fantabulous show. I want to thank Damien for doing a great job on the phones all week. Tara, don't call me Tar, goddammit, for doing a great job on the phones all week. Yay! Producer Ann for putting her feminine stink on the show. And, of course, the
Chris.
I think of the prince of the potentiometer. There you go. That's good radio. Engineer Anderson and, of course, Lauren for doing a great job. What was Lauren doing?
A great job.
Pat and Brian can be found again at the Improv in Irvine next week, the 20th through the 24th. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I do appreciate it. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Yay!
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. Producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.